HasWoper. Training, keeping the response in HasWoper. If you've been in this game as long as I have, you know that standard is a bit of a moving target. At Redline Safety, we don't just look at what the rules were yesterday, we look at what's hitting the books today. Right now, we are in the middle of a massive regulatory shift. While the core of HasWoper 29 CFR 191.120 remains the bedrock of hazardous waste operations, a series of ripple effect updates from OSHA and the EPA are changing how we train, label, and respond. If you're still running your 2024 playbook, you're already behind. Here's what you need to know to stay compliant and, more importantly, stay alive. 1. The HASCOM Ripple Effect, GHS Revision 7. You might think Hazard Communication, HASCOM, and HASWOPER are two different silos. They aren't. HASWOPER relies entirely on your ability to recognize and classify a threat. In May 2024, OSHA finalized the update to the Hazard Communication Standard to align with GHS Revision 7. As of January 15, 2026, OSHA officially extended the compliance deadlines, but the clock is ticking. May 19, 2026, manufacturers and importers must have all pure substances reclassified with updated safety data sheets, SDS, and labels. November 20, 2026, employers, that's likely you, must have updated workplace labeling and refreshed employee training to cover new hazard classes like desensitized explosives and chemicals under pressure. Why it matters for HasWoper. If your emergency responders don't recognize the new pictograms or understand the unstable gas classifications on an SDS, your site safety plan is effectively a stack of scrap paper. 2. The new emergency response standard, the Fire Brigade Rewrite. For decades, we've relied on the old 1980s era Fire Brigade standard. OSHA is currently finalizing a brand new emergency response standard, 1910.156. This isn't just for fire departments. It's designed to bring technical rescue teams and industrial ERTs under one comprehensive umbrella. It mandates comprehensive hazard assessments, moving beyond a simple what's in the tank to a full-scale vulnerability analysis, medical and behavioral health. For the first time, there's a heavy emphasis on the mental fitness and behavioral health of responders, a long overdue nod to the stress of hazmat work. 3. Heat illness, the new hazardous atmosphere. We've always treated heat as a nuisance in HasWoper, but in 2026, OSHA is treating it as a lethal hazard. With the proposed federal heat illness prevention standard, your HasWoper PPE protocols are about to get scrutinized. When your team is in level A or B suits, they aren't just fighting chemicals, they are fighting an internal furnace. The new requirements will likely mandate mandatory rest/shade/hydration breaks triggered by specific temperature thresholds. Acclimatization protocols for new workers. You can't just throw a rookie in a Tycum suit on a 95 degree Fahrenheit day and hope for the best. 4. PPE fit and inclusivity. Effective January 13, 2025, OSHA updated PPE standards for construction 1926.95, and we are seeing that philosophy bleed into general industry HasWoper. The rule is no longer just provide PPE, it's provide PPE that fits appropriately based on individual body size and shape. If your one-size-fits-most gas masks or chemical suits don't actually seal on a smaller-framed worker or someone with a different facial structure, you aren't compliant. You're liable. The red line bottom line, the O in HasWoper stands for operations, and ER stands for emergency response. Neither of those functions works if your training is stagnant. If your 8-hour refresher this year doesn't include the new GHS pictograms, the updated SDS formats, and the new heat stress protocols, you aren't doing a refresher, you're doing a history lesson. Stay sharp, stay updated, and stay safe. Michael Raymer, Redline Safety Incorporated.
Search Redline!